Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech for my power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
We do, but it has exemption. We are not going to go to cross. That's the truth. We are not going to go to, it's not part of the assignment. Going to the cross is not part of the assignment. Yes, sir. So if those things are not included, then it also says that in him is the fullness of God dwell. Then we also see the full grace. There is fullness of God, fullness of grace in him. We have it in measure. And so our operation is according to the measure of grace that is given unto us. So even if I choose to convert that I want to walk upon the sea tomorrow, I will go there and sink. Do you understand? Because there's no reason for it, no basis for it. Do you understand? There's no basis for it. So I think our mental picture about this thing is wrong. That is not the intention of God for us. The intention of God for us basically is to live godly life. That's just in the intention of God. Live the simple life. Simple life of...
You have triggered something. Let me praise God. Thank you, sir. You have triggered something. Look. When the Bible says the creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, it is waiting for the manifestation of the anointed men that can speak in tongues and see vision. Creation does not respond to those things. It responds to stature, character. When that nature that has been possessed, that I travailed, or the Christ the word, formed. So that is another, that's one stage. The other stage is that is fully formed and he has grown in you. When you arrive at that state, creation will respond. Do you understand? There's a place for the manifestation of the gifts. You will do many things. But there is another manifestation when you come into sonship. When men arrive in sonship, the powers of the air will shift. They are there because that's what was saying in Galatians 4, that when a child is still a child, is under tutelage and governors. And those governors are not the pastors. They are the elemental spirits of the air. They govern you. They tell you to go and do jam. You do jam. They tell you that after you do jam, you enter school. They are the one organizing our life. You don't know. Oh, okay. God is just allowing it to happen. So after you now finish, they now say you must marry. After you marry, they tell you to just hold on, just keep on giving birth. After you finally giving birth, it's time for you to die. You just say it's okay. You go and die. What is controlling you? The prince of darkness. So it's possible to handle microphone and still be under the control of the prince without you knowing. So until you discover God's program for you and fulfilling it, that is a demonstration that you are not under that prince anymore. Sure, you understand. So when you rise and you are fully a son, by the time you arrive, powers will shift. There are things you will know, you will just operate. Sure, you understand? So, don't stop aspiring to grow. Do you understand? There are spiritual exercises, Pastor were together in the car yesterday, and we're talking about meditation. I don't know how many, and you know that's the key. I don't know much about it though. I don't know if Pastor you know about meditation. I don't know about meditation. Meditation is not just you just sit down and you are brainstorming. It's not brainstorming. There is something about that thing that opens you to the spirit realm. He said, Joshua, say, if you will meditate upon these things, he says, nobody will stand before you all the days of your life. You know, I did not understand it until I watched this film, documentary of the grandfather of Gaddafi, Colonel Gaddafi, of Libya. The title of that film is The Lion of the Desert. The man will sit with Quran morning to night, reading and thinking. That's all he was doing. When it was time to war, the man will stand up, an inspiration to fight will come upon him. He decimated the Italian army. He was no general. He didn't go to war. He didn't go to war school. He didn't do nothing. The man would just say, this is how we are going to fight. And the generals that came from Italy, war power, then he would decimate the army. By the time they captured him, of course, they had to betray him. His people betrayed him for them to capture him. They took him to Italy. Mussolini was going to kill him. The general came to beg Mussolini that this is a worthy adversary, that they shouldn't kill him. Mussolini said, I will have none of that. He has destroyed my army. Because they hung him. It was his glasses that they came back to Libya to hang him. And Gaddafi, that was where he drew inspiration from. And of course, the story. But what am I trying to say? Apple, the man that got Apple, Shema Apple, iPhone, iPad, all those I. You know that the company he started, at the point they drove him out of his company. They sacked him. He lost the company and went into oblivion. They said he went to, is it Thailand? India. Or Tibet. One of them, India, no, now, I lay one here. Their family members. Praise God. And sat in the table for 30 days. Whether he was fasting, though, he was just quiet and meditating. It was there that those priests came to give him the ideas. What you are handling came from the spiritual. It's not science. Don't deceive yourself. I want to be like the war power. It's not mouth. Can you pay the price to access the spirit realm? We can become governor. Do you know how many blood they shed before they can become governor? I was talking to Pastor JJ this morning. Pastor, yes, okay, Pastor, I'm not encouraging anybody to go to politics again. I say, Keshele, you're the one I've seen, I'm not doing again. And you have not done local government chairman that is doing, secretary that is doing, what will you do when you now, there's a scripture that says that if you are contending with footmen and they're wearing you, what will you do when they mount on horses? How will you survive? Now, it's even worse when they now start flying play. You have no future. You can't survive. So when a Christian says, we want to do politics, we want to enter it. I'm shaking my head. Ah, Pastor Bello. Pastor Bello, remember your local government chairmanship experience? He has not told you. Okay, he will use his mouth to come and tell you one day. Not me, I won't tell you. Kwon Shoju Lassan. You don't go there and just start speaking English. Those things don't respond to English. One of my boys in Ikare, during the time of NRC, SDP, I don't know how many of you were around where you were born then. In the days of Babangida, this brother was contesting for the local government chairmanship of Ikare, Gwolo Sakoko area. And he was popular. And people were doing, hey, brother. He was supposed to win. One day he was walking along Ikare, I think that of Jaoba area. And a young lady walked up to him and said, they want to see you, sir. See me, yes. And as a politician, you must never say you are not going. So he now led him through some houses. As they took one bed, they just entered another room. Just entered another room. Small girl took him and entered another room. And took him into one hut. And he saw one in Yao Shurunga. All seated in a circle like that. And they say, young man, welcome. We have been listening and been watching you and we like you. But we want to be sure we can trust you. Are you willing to enter a path with us? And the brother said, I'm a brother. I'm a Christian. Okay. Well, there's nothing we can do. I'll be in your big glory, so. Go see. And they said, told the young lady to lead him out. By the time he led him out, he said he found himself in another as part of town. That's where he busted out from. But election day, I don't think he got up to 10,000 votes. All the people that say they voted for somebody else. Are you with me? This is a pastor and a Christian. Until you are ready to wage war in the realm of the spirit, you are not ready for that thing. So if you are not the kind of person that can pray, and you have wisdom of the ancient one, please just come to church and be looking. Madasi. Amen. One day, by the grace of God, they will enter Wahala. When they enter Wahala, there will nobody solve the problem. It's you, they will not come and call, hey, hey, please come and help us. Hey, hey. You will not demonstrate. But you want to go and help them compete. Ah, you won't survive. You will come back home. We will not be able to send Sister Lumre to go and help you because they may capture her too. So I will prepare to lose you. I lose the rest of my team. Praise God. So you understand. Is well in Jesus. So, brother David, the Lord is with us. Let us believe God. Let us trust God. Don't stop believing God. Brother Lumri.
Good. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, there's a school of thought which I believe in, that as a believer, we should get to a point where our daily life or every step is directed by the Spirit of God.
Yes, it's possible.
And that's what he was saying when he says, those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons. And this type of people are actually the ones that can walk the greater works. That is, because when you look at it, most of us, we do more of looking on to God for what we want, rather than seeking God for what he wants us to do. It's very rare for a Christian to wake up and say, God, should I go to school or should I stay? You know, after secondary school, okay, you have come to Christ. Daddy, I want to believe. Daddy, I want to believe that's what God wants us to do. We tend to pursue the way they do it rather than seeking God. How do you want me to live my life? Some people will be in the wilderness. Some people will be on the mission. They don't even need the education we are running after. Some people are intercessors that God raised. They don't even need education. All their lives they are to pray for the body of Christ in that area. So if God is leading them not to go to school, why not? So what I'm saying in essence is this. We believe too much in seeking God to become that which people are becoming. Seeking our own, they may be very good and godly. Like I want to have a church in the city turning people to God. But there's no place of God. What do you want me to do? So I want to believe God would take us to a place where we will not just, I want to get married because I'm of age. But it will be God now that I'm of age.
Can I pause you?
Alright, sir.
There are many things that they are ideals that we can think about and say, Lord, yes, this is what I believe can happen. But you see, to create that kind of thing, over the history of humanity, has only been done when there is an outburst of the Spirit of God. When there is a revival. What we call revival is actually the unleashing of the power of the Spirit upon a people. That's when such things become normal. Are you with me? And so if you are believing God for that, you will have to believe Him for an operation of the Spirit to be unleashed upon that people. And then you will now find Holy Ghost arresting people and saying, you go here. At that time, it will not become a struggle. At that time, it will not be a controversy. At times, even parents will not say you should go to school because the atmosphere would have been supercharged by the presence of God. For example, Acts of Apostles, the story in Ephesus. Remember, for 2.5 years, Paul was preaching about the kingdom in Ephesus. There were believers in Ephesus who used to attend Paul's program. When that power of God broke out, those brethren brought their magical books. That means they were still consulting magical books to lead their life, and they were coming to church. I see that one everywhere.
It's everywhere. I thought it was Benin, but I now realize that it's all over Nigeria now. Everybody's, there's one small idol. But Benin, it's difficult to have a Benin man that doesn't have one brother inside the corner. That he must juba before he goes out in the morning. When Pastor Esho of Deeper Life was posted to Benin, he preached a powerful message. More than 2/3 of the church came out to give their life again. Deeper Life. Within two weeks, problem broke out. He almost killed his wife and his babies. He took Pastor Kumuyi to come and pray. He lost his big child. They saved his wife, but they lost his child. They had to transfer him to Brazil. It's Benin. So, see, there are some things you cannot, Jesus Christ said, you cannot go into the strong man's house and spoil his goods, except you first bind him. If you don't bind him and attempt, the repercussions can be very grave. So the issue therefore is your expectations unfounded? No. I agree with you completely. But we cannot legislate it. We cannot, we can't create it. Without the Holy Ghost initiating it, it's going to be counterproductive. And that is what, I guess, right now the church has no business. People are mounting revival in the land, and they are not paying the price for it. If you have your time, pick books on revival that happened in the past. People prayed their lives. It's not 1 day prayer, not 2 days prayer, not 3 days prayer. Many people pray for years until that revival broke out. And unfortunately, the people who prayed it were not even people know them. They didn't come to the limelight. Those who knew nothing were the one who became the champion of the revival. I don't know whether you understand me. The Azusa revival was a black man. But the Igbo may not tell you that. When it was breaking out in Azusa, Babalola was being activated in Elisha. Not only Babalola, there was Pyrexin came doing that move. This man too, Rimolade, CNS, they were working the charismatic gifts. So, it is only the Holy Ghost that can do it. Only the Holy Ghost can bath it. If you attempt to bath it in the flesh, in your normal energy, it will come to nothing. So, I agree with you. Okay. Sorry.
I just want to add, it's not, there are some natural order that we cannot play around. Now, you can't say that you are being led by the Holy Ghost and refuse to plant maize in, is it March or so? And then you say, you want to ask the Holy Ghost, should I plant now? Then, or in January. That you don't tamper with some natural things. Why? Because even God has designed those things that way. All my daughters are early 20s. I should expect that they should marry. Yes. I should expect that they should marry. Once they are... So, but because I'm working with God, if God now says that, you see, there are times when God wants to move contrary to the natural order, He also interrupts us. And also, but it's not, so there are certain things that I just do. When I wash, the sun is out, I put my clothes out. Those ones are stable. So we have to also respect. But there are times when it may not work. That's why we say that when you live your life, when we live our life and we are in tune with the Spirit of God, there are sometimes, even before He does something like that, He's going to come and tell you, I'm interrupting this. And then sometimes He may not tell you, but you can be feeling, maybe I want to do something, I'm not convenient. Then I go to pray, Lord, is there anything you are, it's good for us to have that attitude of seeking the face of God when we want to take, you know, some step. But what I'm saying is that, don't do some, just follow some natural order. Then if there's going to be anything, we should trust God. Like Egan would say that God is intelligent. if he wants something otherwise, he knows how to either talk to me or sometimes even move against. So, but I want to just have that. So don't expect that every little once somebody is through primary school, what is the next thing? Go to secondary school. Yeah, through secondary school, write down, go to university. We still, if Nigeria change the policy tomorrow, we will also move along with that. But if there are going to be a difference, we should be open. I think that's what is more important. Open to God interrupting or changing our course, you know, than, because we can also become religious. It's a line. But
praise the Lord. You say, I don't believe that God needs you to have a bachelor's, but you can use your bachelor's. A bachelor's wouldn't take you to heaven, but a bachelor's will open some doors for you. Can I amuse you? I have a PhD in law. Pastor knows. There are places that can enter, you cannot enter. Whether you like it or not. It's a fact. Now the point is this. When we're talking about the natural order, Pastor G actually spoke my mind. See, Jesus passed through a process before he entered ministry. The day he entered the temple and taught those doctors, he would have said, Father, is it now time to enter ministry? He didn't. Now, bro, the ankle you raised, we have to be careful of also seducing spirits. That will just slap you at the back of your head and you start dreaming dreams. It is time for me now to enter ministry. Without preparation, without structure, without, you know, strong legs to stand. For me, I have been close to Pastor for quite a while, and I'm learning some things from his own pastor. He's working. Are you aware he's working? Is he not anointed? Pastor will combine both Pankere and Revelation for you, the two together. Only halfway. Can you understand? Now the truth is this, sir. Let's not just feel like the believer should wake up for me and say like, except the Holy Ghost speaks to me, I won't do anything. There is a natural pattern to follow. But like Pastor said, we should be willing to allow the Lord to interrupt, to interfere, and to intervene. You understand me, sir? We must be willing. Now, those of you who are in school, without a degree, you can still be a Christian, but God can use your degree. Do you understand? God can use every single potential that you add to yourself, becomes a tool that the Father can use. You are in the realm of men. You are in the realm of human government. There are principles for this level of administration. You just have to flow in and key in.
Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think narrowing it down to the norms, we are not going to do justice to this. Now, the natural order has to do with our age, when we can take decision, and when our parents take decision for us. For example, you don't have anything to do about it. Your parents will send you to primary school. After primary school, you don't have a say. Your parents will send you to secondary school. Even at secondary school, your parents will send you to university. Because we must understand where he was coming from. But we have come to a situation where every one of us, because the issue of sonship is what he's addressing. Every one of us, he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Of course, there are certain times when you become son, even natural order. I can't give my car key to Tunde. Though, to go and even when I give him car to go and open, I want to know what he's doing because he can drive it. I know he's that wide. So, and I can't trust him. Even when I know that, I was just saying it, I said, I know if you give the key to this boy, he will drive the car, and that's the truth. But I won't trust him. Because he's not a son yet. Of course he's a son. You understand? But he has not come to that aspect of that maturity of sonship where I can entrust certain things unto him. But a time comes in our journey with God that we don't now begin to behave in the normal way. The normal way is, oh,
I have finished my first degree. It's time for me to go and run my MBA. Is that the plan of God for you? I've finished my MBA. It's time for me to go for my MSc. Is that the plan of God for you? Who says you should seek for white collar job? Is that the plan of God for you? So those are the little things that we really need to begin to manifest this issue of the spirit. Because it's not abstract. For example, I don't know anyone who would have naturally informed me that I should come to Akure when I came to Akure. I will not come. But it was God said, okay, relocate. And everybody that I was telling, it doesn't make sense. So what I'm saying is that this natural order, there is a time when we need to break out from the norms and concentrate on this aspect of our spirituality and test if this thing are real or not. Now, you are a graduate now. There are many of you that are ripe for marriage now. You are afraid of getting married because of this natural order. It's true. Because of this natural order. You cannot even talk to a sister because of this natural order. You look at it, I don't have bucket. I don't have this. Ask your pastor how many buckets he had before he married this beautiful woman. But I know that God... But I know God instructed him. It doesn't look wise for you to get married at that point in time, because naturally he would have said, how do I feed this woman? So you break away from these norms. But all of you want to calculate until when I get a job in who told you will get a job in? Who do you know? Some of you might search for poor and become very rich. It's true, you didn't ask. You are not interested in asking. All you are interested in, as soon as I graduate from Futa, I'm going to Lagos. Who told you will have a work in Lagos? Some of you, I'm going to Abuja. Who told you are going to have a work in Abuja? Do you understand? Do you know how many years I suffered in the city of Lagos before I came back to Akure? And yet, my first visit in Akure, things were okay. But the moment I entered Lagos, do you understand? So, I think we must not narrow it down. We must make it broad to our day-to-day activities. Is it the plan of God for me? Lord, I want to seek your face. I have graduated. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Am I a farmer? Am I a planter? All of these things are important. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Do you really know, Pastor? This is a lost act in the body. And I perceive it came from one of our most very senior ministers. Came from me. At that time, he used to say, I didn't talk to God. I just lied to my wife and I told my wife. And he married her. And I pray. Also, fun mi ni o. Beni. Also, we pray, Yahweh Rio. Based on what Pastor is saying, I think I had pockets. I think I had...
That's the funny thing. I was the one that was positioned on Wednesday, during Wednesday service, to welcome the first-timers to church. And she was not the only lady. And I was greeting all that. There should be about eight there. As I was greeting everybody, as I greeted her, the one said, this is her. To whom I went, her. Immediately, I said, I rebuke you, foul spirit. Are you her? Man of God cannot be welcoming sister and be... He's a demon. So, we came from there. God spoke to us. We just did not see. If it's based on seeing, there were many. I was a youth pastor. There were many. If I was a player, I would have played. But I thank God that God had made up my mind, nobody will spoil my testimony. One day, man, the microphone, and I will stand and talk to you. So sometimes I'm not stand by me, I say, Sure, you get me. But Lumi, I'm still holding on though. I can notice. Praise God. Are you with me? There is what they call step of faith. I think we need to go and dig this well again. We have to dig this well again. We have to begin to open people up. There is an aspect of the Spirit of God that we must begin to interface. But like Pastor said, like there are things that are natural. Now, if there is no sun and you need to go and do an interview and you don't have clothes and you wash it, you may need to ask God, take away this rain and give me sunlight now. God will suspend it. We have done crusade before that rain was going to scatter and we stood there and said, we rebuke your rain, move away, and the heavens cleared. Even in the day of rainy season. Do you follow me? But we don't work like that every day. Because for you to be suspending natural law, there will be power next Sunday. Because there will be no food for us to eat. We need to, sure you understand. I don't ask God to stop praying for no reason. There must be a reason. Amen. Then, now, you know, imagine we are doing program. Farmer is praying, God, give me rain. Me and Sonny, I said, Lord, no rain. Who will God answer in heaven? It's you, praise God. Well, let me continue.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
It's a continuation of that. Like, yeah. We have teachings that we should grow to a point where on our every day when we wake up, during the fellowship hour, we seek God. God, should I go to work today or I should not go? Now, I'm not talking of people that have not gained their stand. I mean, people that know and hear and know when God is speaking and it's accurate. It's not as if they are guessing or dreaming or whatever. Now, should we desire to become like that? That every day we wake up, God, what do you want me to do today? Should we grow to that level? Or it's not too okay? Praise God.
Hallelujah. You didn't say hallelujah now. You said praise God. You said hallelujah. Well, I want to give that definition and box all of you to a corner. Because listen to me. If I'm employed. I have to be at work. I can't be asking Holy Ghost, should I go to work this morning? You can't be asking God, should I go for lectures? That's why I'm correcting you now. Others may do it, but please let it not be hard. She understand? Well, like Pastor said, the Holy Ghost can intervene, interject, interrupt. It can come. You are open. Lord, it's on His volition. He might say, this morning, don't go out. But it's not every day we'll be telling you that. Because He will be breaking His own natural order. Because this sets it into motion. Do you follow me? But you must be open to the Holy Ghost. Listen, I have had, I was in class. It was a final year course. The man gave thermodynamics. First test, open book. I flunked it. Second test, open book. I threw it away. Exam. 60%. Is there hope? Closed book. When it was open, I didn't pass. Is it when they now close it, I will pass. Are you with me? Then I was in between, should I go to fellowship? Should I go and read? Should I go to fellowship? Should I go and read? And while I was debating it, I had a word come to my heart. Nehemiah, shall a man like me flee? So I had to go to fellowship. Even though I was there bodily, my heart was not there. I was struggling. How do I read? Where should I read? I was troubled throughout the whole service. When the service ended, I wanted to run out when they finished the message. But I had a restraint to wait until grace. Then the president came up and began to share a testimony. I don't know why he had to share that testimony. Normally, when he comes up like that, he's supposed to say the grace and we all go. And he began to share the testimony of a brother that the Holy Ghost told him he should get up and go and preach somewhere. So he traveled out of town and went to preach. By the time he came back, he was not able to come back before
in the morning, so he came back late in the evening. And when he got back, they had already done a test, unscheduled test. So when his mates saw him, they said, "Baba, Oleo, you came in late and left before the rest of us." He said, "I was not in school." They said, "You're a liar. We all saw you. We all saw you." And everybody confirmed they saw him. When the result came out, he got the best too. So when he now went, "God, what is going on?" God said, "Because he went to do my work, I sent an angel to go and do your work." But it is not. So that one gave me faith that, "God, if you can do that, my pass, Lola. My pass. I don't want to do it. I don't have no clue." When I entered the exam hall, question one, no answer. Question two, no answer. Question three, no clue. Question four, no clue. It's five questions, do four. You know, another kind of three unique questions. Five. I can't fish anymore. Make me the face. And I put my head on the table and I slept off. 3 hours course. When they came to me, they said, "You're okay. Money more okay. My worry. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit." 30 minutes to the end of the game, they began to download revelation to my mind. And I began to write. Any case, to talk about the long story, I came out with C. Shimwa, okay. Ben, sir. What pass? It's a miracle. So I know that the Holy Ghost intervenes. He's interested in our day-to-day lives. And I guess what he's trying to say. Even to the point that the kind of dress you wear, the things you do, he wants to intervene, he wants to talk to you about those things. So can you develop a relationship where you can let God talk to you? Now, what he will want to say, I cannot begin to dictate to you. I say, he can tell you not to go to class. I want us to be careful there. Because, again, we are dealing with spirits. And it's not the Holy Spirit alone that is in that realm. Listen to me. In my 200 level, spirits came to me and told me to leave school. Yes, spirits came to me and told me to leave school. And it was like the Holy Ghost. And the thing was driving, was shaking me. Every time I come to church, fellowship, I was not comfortable. That what am I doing here? Go and preach this gospel. Are you with me? So I prayed and prayed, and it was too clear, this must be the Holy Ghost. So how did God save me? It was just a sister. The last Sunday, I was going to spend on campus. I was going to go to just on Monday morning to Capro. 200 level chemical engineering. And while I greeted everybody, I called to Elizabeth and greeted Elizabeth. "How are you? Are you fine? Everything?" As far as I'm concerned, I was in my validatory service. And as I finished greeting her and I turned to go, she said, "Brushe, come back." And I turned around. He said, "Brushe, I have a word for you." "Really?" "You?" So she's not a new convert, but you know those sisters that when you talk to them, they may not come to fellowship again. You have to go and beg them to come back to fellowship. "Who wants you? Who wants you?" "I should bear now." You know those guys, "Holy Ghost went from me to you. Is it possible?" So Holy Ghost told us to tell me that there is the decision I'm about to take that he did not order, that he's not involved. I said, "Really?" "Say yes." "Say, I don't know what you are planning to do, but God said you should not do it." I now went to the sports center that night, and I began to go and cry. "God, are you a God of confusion? You told me to go. People are perishing, and I want to go and save them." And I heard him audibly. He said, "Before you were born, they'd be perishing. If you die today, they will perish. Stay where I put you." And I realized that was my first encounter with deceiving spirits. That's when I knew that it's not every spirit. If you don't test them, they will throw you off. So as much as you want to walk with the Spirit, learn discernment. You need time to grow in discernment. You need people to guide and protect you. I learned from my experience that I must have people around me that can help me. Even when I come with a revelation, they must be able to judge it. I don't know whether you're with me. Because in this realm of the spirits, there are spirits. Because then it's only deceive. Even Jesus, they tried to deceive him. So who are you? Do you not know what was playing out on the cross? When that man on his right hand side was saying, "If you be the Son of God, come out." Who do you think was talking to Jesus? It was Satan.
Because if he gets angry and comes down from that cross, then the whole program of salvation is finished. They can't take him back there again. There's no plan B. You are dealing with an adversary that only is going to hell in Jesus' name. That's where he deserves to go. It's a wicked spirit. So please don't take it for granted. As much as you desire spiritual gifts and you desire to be led by the Spirit, please be careful. Please be careful. Learn discernment. Have people around you that can pray with you and guide you. Please don't for now, as your pastor, I will not permit you not to go to lectures. Say, once we told you not to go for lecture. Angel, are you with me? Like pastor said, you must go to a place where I can trust you. My father didn't trust me with a car. He didn't give me his car keys. I stole it and drove. Are you with me? That's the way I learned how to drive. Left my father, they would never trust. Because, you see, driving is not kicking car and entering road. Driving is decision making. Can you make a decision in split seconds and know what to do without killing yourself? You have to prove that I can trust you. Praise God. Pastor, you know those boys and those senior boys. While you are good, they will just swap and come and meet you. I have made up my mind. When a senior boy comes to meet me, I'm entering bush. I'm not even quarreling on who has the road. First, enter the bush. Get down and now come and start abusing his father and mother that have died. No problem. But save yourself first. But an inexperienced person will say, it's my road. We have lost two lecturers like that. Because it's my road. Don't do that. So do you understand? What Brother Lumri has said is desirable. As you grow, you will learn. Yeah, following the Spirit is experiential. It's experiential. You learn. That is, like I've learned. Are you with me? I don't jump quickly. That one, I'm preaching and somebody just throw idea into my head. I process it before I talk. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. Look, if you're the type that you just wait for them to throw trust into your heart, anything that comes into your heart, you just open your mouth and you destroy many things. So you must learn how to process these things. It's a little bit difficult for those who are in the prophetic. Because when you begin to use your mind to deal with certain things, you will shut down that operation. But as you grow, it will get to a point where the way your mind thinks and the way the mind of the Spirit thinks will not be the same. It takes time. There will be an alignment. Why do you think it was easy for God to say, let me tell and speak to my friend Abraham about what I'm about to do? Seeing that he will order his children after him. Because their mind have aligned. God could trust Abraham with certain things. Hallelujah. So please, we will watch you by your work and see the fruit of your work. And hallelujah. Spiritual things are slippery. They are slippery. I learn every day. There was a story of a brother whose parents were Christians. Fire breathing, tongue speaking. And he had a call to ministry. But his parents were not convinced. So out of depression, he was depressed and he had to go and meet God to report his parents. That you called me and my parents are standing against the call. I know what God told him. Obey your parents in all things. It was God. It was God who called him. It was God that said, you will go and obey. What do I mean? Thank you. Can you understand that? God called you. Yeah, come my son, follow me. And your parents said, no, come back. God will not disregard the authority of your parents. It's not done. After 2 years, I guess, his parents called him and said, now you can go into ministry. And he began to prosper. Because there are checks and balances. There are checks and balances. Please, God will help us.
But let us desire to be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't make decisions like Pastor said and Brother Lumo is trying to tell us, based on what is the norm. Are you with me? There are certain people that are certain times in our lives that God can interject and said, no, don't go in this direction. Are you with me? This way. I think that's okay. Any other question? Hallelujah. No other question. No other contribution. You have a question. You have a question. Look at your hair. You have a question. Yeah, have a question.
Is it possible for you?
I discerned that by the Spirit.
Is it possible for the Holy Spirit to communicate? Is it possible for the Holy Spirit to communicate to us through our thoughts?
Is it possible for the Holy Ghost to communicate to us through our thoughts? Of course, yes. He can communicate to you through thoughts. It will just drop. That's how spirits also communicate with people. It's not just Holy Ghost. Demons throw thoughts into your mind. Angels can come and talk. It can be audible. It can come by thought. It can come by an impression. This one will be a teaching on his own. How to be led. Share your stance. It can come by. But you have to judge that thought. Are you with me? You have to do what? Judge the thought. How will you know whether it is in line with the word? That's why you must be conversant with the word. Because it will never give you a thought or a leading that is contrary. It is not possible. Have you heard of a person who wants to be led by God? He wanted leading. So he said, Lord, anywhere I open, let it be your way. He opened it and put his hand, bam, and Judas hung himself. I reject that to Jesus. Labor couple say, Lord, another one. And he put his hand again, go and do likewise. You know that that was no leading. Here you understand. So, amen. But you must judge it. You must judge it. Yes, sir. Yes. You need to, this brings to the issue of submission. It's a dual thing. As a member of a church, you must submit to the leadership. You must. It helps you, it saves you. There are things you may want to do and the leadership may say, no, don't go ahead and do it. Because not only do they have spiritual oversight over you, they are also experienced. And they can also, by the Spirit, judge what you are talking about. Are you with me? For example, when you want to travel, some of you travel, you don't even let me know. You just go. Now, you see, it's easy for you to look at me and say, I'm just another man. It is true, I'm another man. But you forget that I also live in an office. Are you with me? I am an office. There is an anointing to pastor you. Praise God. I don't know whether you understand. And all these men have that similar anointing to also create that oversight. There are things you can see, or there are things you won't see that they will see. Nobody is trying to control your life. Am I making sense? Nobody is trying to say, without me you can never be it. No. That's not the objective. And that's why I said it's a dual thing. Praise God. As a leader, I must be careful that I'm not giving you leadership so that I can gain. I don't know if you're with me. That will be witchcraft. Because I will step into manipulation. You see that in offering. When you say, come and give offering, come and give offering. You see, if God told me yesterday that He's going to give two people cars here this morning. If you want to buy a car, go and empty your account. That's manipulation. Do you understand me? The judgment. Because I don't know the judge. It's even more dangerous being a leader than being a church member. Sometimes I feel sorry for those who have 10,000 membership. Because for all those 10,000, now man will give an account. Won't be tied if he doesn't know them. Ben, he doesn't know them. Said, I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. And they have listened to my voice. So how will you have 10,000 sheep you don't know? Do you understand me? And they are doing whatever pleases them. For all the things they are doing, you will give account for it. So it's a dangerous thing. So there must be this balance. So as leaders, we must be careful the kind of leadership we give. And you also must be careful the way you relate with the leadership. Because Paul said it's not good for you if you don't have that relationship with them. So he says, submit to them. So God will help us. Are you with me? When I was going to marry my wife, I went to my pastor to go and ask him, this is what I received. Please judge it. My pastor said, yes, that God has spoken to her. And she said, what God showed her was a dark woman. She was looking at one other sister. I said, it's not that one. Now I know. This is this one. I said, oh. Are you with me? So I had the backing of my leadership. I just didn't just go. I said, of course, I can say I don't need them. I'm also anointed. There was a brother that was anointed too, that they know their right from their left. Pastor knows him. The person he came to show me was not the person he eventually married. It was on Facebook that I saw that he had married somebody else. And I called him, what happened? I said, Pastor, don't worry. 10 years after, it was one in my house. I said, Pastor, I almost beat my wife up. So I was close to divorcing. If you had submitted, you probably would not have been in this mess. Because you would have been guided. He lost all his money. That's why, sisters, be careful, please. The marriage vow is for better or for worse. What did I say? Some people that have faith say it's for better or for good. It's not true. Okay, for better, for best. It's not true. There can be time for Gary. The brother lost all his money. He was a multi-millionaire. Lost all his money. As they would say, as in nothing. The wife has to be feeding him. So when it's time for food, he asked the wife, where's my breakfast? He said, do you know the way to the kitchen? Go and feed yourself. And the guy will go out. He said, Amen. Omo korimeta. So he jumped out and was sampling sisters. Two wrongs don't make a right. Too. Eventually, they fought and broke up. The wife now lost her job. One. Do you follow me? But it was not necessary. The Bible says, with good counsel, make your war. You need counsel. You need godly counsel. Take counsel from people that have no vested interest in that decision. For example, if it's Bromolu, you tell me now that you are going for a 20 million naira contract. 10% of 20 million. 2 million. You go actually let church here. A contract and you got the 2 million. Now, I will not, because of the 2 million tithe, not give you a good decision. I will tell you, don't go. Now that looks as if I hate you, Abby. You think I hate you. Pastor, this is my breakthrough. But I'm speaking to you as a pastor, not as an ordinary person. Because I can see the trap you cannot see. I speak to you as a father. Then you may see a contract of 10,000. And I say, go and do it. You say, Pastor, you cut my ear too small. That's spiritual oversight. Yeah, are you with me? Yeah. So, as leaders, we must be careful that we don't do things because of what we stand to gain. What Paul said, that we have not been sent to be lords over your faith, but to help your faith. We are to help you, not lord it over you, and begin to gain. Paul said, the children don't provide for the parents. It's the parents that provide for the children. But we have a Pentecostal system where it is the children that must take care of the parents. It's a wicked system. A time will come when you will grow and you will all be rich. At that time, I will not be preaching again. But don't send me money to buy B2. Send me money to buy a good Jeep. Because I've labored over you. Don't let God judge you. Don't let God judge you. Move something by you. Amen. Hey, God bless you, my church members. Don't let her follow. Hey.
Look at your girls. What did they do? Ah. And you are looking at them. Okay. You lost me too low.
As I have a contribution and okay. And the question. The first one is, I don't think it's only the pastor that is going to make accounts. I think we ourselves, over every relationship you have, you're going to make accounts. Your impact in the person's life is not even as a brother. You have a younger brother. You're going to make accounts about the person. I think God is going to ask you how did you impact your brother. I think your friends too, your level of influence. You should also try. It's not only the people that are in ministry that God will ask, okay, what is your impact to the person that is beside you, to your neighbor, to your friends? How do you help them? That's my contribution. And the other thing is, my question is based on the brother that you said that his parents told him not to go into ministry. I'm looking at it in the place of marriage where you heard that this is your wife and your parents telling you that this family or this state, we don't marry this state.
So how do you go about it?
How do you go about it?
Like I always say, I do not like speculative question. When you enter it, come and ask. I will deal with your case on his own merit. Are you with me? Circumstances differ. So I cannot give you a blanket answer. It's not visible. Bro Joshua, you are not raising your hand. You were raising it before. I didn't see you. Oh yeah. Don't worry. I didn't have the gift of seeing that from the back. Oh yeah. I'll come back to you. You'll be the last person. Oh yeah, quickly, pull it.
My question is similar to his, but
which one is it? All of us have been asking questions now. Which one is it?
Okay. We know that God ordains authority like leadership in the church and parenthood. Now, we have cases where some leadership work in line with our own sentiments.
Yeah. Possible.
And somebody who has a direction from God. First, he sees the need to seek from the leadership what he should do. But now the leadership judges based on their own sentiments.
Again, your question is speculative. Give me a specific situation. The characters of the people involved. How they arrived there. So, that one you are giving is very specific. I'm not answering speculative. No. Bro Joshua. Give Bro Joshua. I told you. It's a generalized question. Oh, you want to give an example? You have an example. All right. Okay. Okay.
On Mama Ogi's status, she had posted something on leadership, telling shutting things down in people. Like, okay, I love to write. Like our own example now.
Miss Ogi, where is she?
She's not around.
She's at work. Okay.
She loves to write and all, but when she had that dream and wanted to pursue it, somebody told her that you need to seek God first. All these things, they are worldly and earthly. Today again, that lady, she had a dream of opening a restaurant and all. Talking to her pastor, the pastor was like, these things, that dream is, like she was too extravagant with her dream. And that she should follow the line of God. She should, you know,
follow,
things like
follow
that. She should follow
life.
God.
Yeah.
And she followed God. Now she's tired of church. She's tired of anything. Like, she says she's not tired of God anyways. But
she's tired of the religious system.
Uh-huh. So how do we deal with that?
Listen to me, my dear. I've always said this. Matthew 24. I don't know whether we need to start going there. Where we talked about the warnings and the signs of the end. The first thing Jesus Christ says, be careful, let no man deceive you. People will be led astray by leadership. The leader you submit to will determine your destiny. You hear what I said? It will decide your destiny. So if you are unfortunate to come under the wrong leadership, you may end up in the wrong place in eternity.
Therefore, be careful. There was nothing that lady would have done. Once the pastor took a position that dropped those things, there is no way you can help her. I myself can't help her. If she came to me to ask for my counsel would have been contrary to her pastor, but I would have told her, go and submit to your pastor. Whatever he finds to do. Because she is not my sheep. I do not have authority over her. I'll be pushing her into rebellion. Are you with me? So in solving one problem, I have created another problem. So a sheep is prepared to leave her church and say she wants to be a member of PGT, then I cannot say, let that dream blossom. Am I communicating? But if you go to a church where you are not allowed to even go to school, you are not even allowed to even think, I can't help you. It's unfortunate. Am I making sense to you? There's something I can do. One of my daughters left Akure, and she is beginning to enter the prime of her time. And her cough is coming. And one brother came from one church to come and talk to her. And she likes the brother, but the pastor said no. She's telling me, I said, I cannot give you consent contrary to your pastor. I said, when the time comes and you don't get husband, go and marry your pastor. I said, don't talk to me about it again. She used to be my daughter, stayed in our house. But now that she's under another leadership, I can't put my foot down. Do you understand me? It's ministerial ethics. It will be rebellion if I tell her to discountenance her pastor's advice and go ahead. And she went for the job. It's rebellion. Ben, you rebellion. Because every time the microphone gets to the hand of the pastor, she will say, all of you that I'm giving word and you're not listening, God will send thunder. While I didn't hear. So either she says, or leave the job or leave the place. Leadership is very, very dangerous. And it can also be a blessing. That's why I'm saying let us be careful. Those of us in leadership, let us be careful. Now, I always tell you, come to church with your brains. You just think that it's a cliche. It's not a cliche. How many people have opportunity of asking their pastor question? Make pastor preaches. That's the end. The oracle has spoken. Now, when you people leave here and go to another church, this your behavior will be considered as rebellion. Now you dare stand and say, pastor, I disagree. I don't agree. That scripture, there is only that deal. So be careful. My son Ochuko was like that. He said when he got back to worry and he was listening to his pastor, he said, it's just found that his pastor did not know anything. Go and submit. Don't even share. If they say, come and share, just say you are not sharing. Just sit down there. Don't let them know that you have revelation. Just sit down there. If they say jump, please jump with them. Praise God. Do you understand me? You can't say your pastor does not know anything. He's too big in your mouth. Praise God. Let the pastor say, okay, so you know, I can come and be a blessing to us. You don't know. Go and ask David and Solomon and Saul. When David showed a little sabi, it was David they were training at him. You have to be careful. Go, Joshua.
All right, sir. I want to ask a question as touching spiritual gifts, sir.
Okay.
I understand that our age, especially the revelational gift, our age is such that everybody wants to know what is going to befall them, what is going to be ahead of them, even if they are not there or they are not present there. So I want to ask, how does maturity and fellowship help in handling spiritual gifts? Now, why I ask the question is, for instance,
are you going to Akumba? It looks good. Pastor, better take you to Akumba. Okay, continue.
All right, sir. For instance, I know some people who are open to revelational gifts. But like Pastor said, the same way you are open to the speakings of God, and demon spirit can also interface with you. And then you have to decipher when it is of God or not of God. So how does maturity and fellowship helps you to actually decipher between spirits communicating to you?
Praise God. Only Pastor Ogi knows his twins. A time will come when Pastor will not need to see them. By mere hearing, he will know who's talking. Even now he knows. For me, even when they walk in the dark, I know it's coming. That's how much I know my voice. Not even, I don't need to hear. Just walk. That's glory. So sometimes on phone they deceive me. When my discernment gift was not working. But most often times I know. So where does fellowship come in? Fellowship comes in that you begin to know God, that you begin to, you are familiar. You know the things you will say, you know how it will come, you know the way it will talk, you know the things, and usually those things must be consistent with scriptures. That's how you do. You don't know Satan. When Satan told Jesus, took it to the high mountain, he said, cast yourself down. Is it not written? He will give his angels charge over thee. And they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And he says it's also written. Do you understand me? So, the safest way to guard against being sabotaged or being ambushed in the realm of the spirit is your proper knowledge and understanding of God's principles. He was very conversant with that. So, in the place of fellowship, studying, praying, are you with me? You will begin to understand God. You know that God can do this, God won't do this. Are you with me? Because God cannot ask you to go and sacrifice your son again. He's not going to do that. There is no leading that can say, go carry your son, take him to Rita or Beledia and kill him. Because there is an anointing that is coming your way. Do you follow me? He's not going to do that. It's not in his character. Or you're saying, look, I want to save prostitutes. Yeah, go and begin to have sex with prostitutes. Some sisters did it in Lagos. They belong to a certain fellowship. While the man was upon them, they were preaching the gospel to him. The man got out of the rubbish hole. Okay, they said we can use anything to preach the gospel. You know where that came from? Hell. Because somebody told them that this is your body. Cannot affect your spirit. Your spirit is perfect. You are saved. So anything you happen to your body, no worry. And you go to heaven. Yeah.
Thank you, sir, for that answer. I want to ask in line of, when you have a situation where it looks so close, like the example you cited, sir, the scripture that Lucifer quotes was actually true.
Yes, it's in the Bible.
The scripture Jesus used to counter his word was also actually in the Bible.
True.
So in the one Lucifer
quoted was not correct. That was an omitted phrase. He quotes that verse correctly.
Okay.
Go ahead. One phrase was missing. Okay. Pastor G, bear me out.
We need to be prayed. We have Bible to read. I hope you know that the people they wrote those letters so they didn't have Bible to read. The Colossians didn't have Bible. The Ephesians, the owners of the Revelation didn't have Bible. They didn't have anything. They only take those letters, read it to them publicly in the church, and that's all. And those guys were good Christians. Don't think they read Bible. They didn't read Bible. So I wonder what Paul was telling them when he told them that the words of Christ should dwell in them
richly.
Richly. I really don't know, because even the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John were not available. Those books were discovered much, much later. Many of the things you see were, even Luke said the things I penned down were the things I had from those that were there originally. I guess that's why we have some of these small differences. So when you want to base your life totally on, you know, some people who have based their life totally on what has been written down, and then they don't understand that there's also the leading of the Spirit. So I think we need to be a people who pray also. Not just the people who read Bible too alone. We need to be a people who pray. It's not every scripture that appears to me that addresses my... There are times you are reading scriptures and you are reading those Ezekiel scriptures where it was additional judgment to some nations. Is that also talking to you? And quickly, those ones, you quickly start fighting it or you turn the page. That this can be... I'm expecting God to talk to me, but this is not what I'm expecting that God will say to me. So I think we must not forbid the place or forget the place of praying and being in the Spirit. We must, on a daily basis, spend time praying so that that prayer can brood on the Word, and then God can bring out exactly what He wants to bring out from us. Ordinary confession does not do it. So ordinary, I confess. You can confess all you want. But there's a place of, you know, being in the Spirit. And that's also a contribution I will make to Brolumre's question there. And Daddy has said it. One of the excesses of the prophetic is trying to let the Holy Spirit do for you what your common sense can do. God, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of purpose. If He has no purpose for telling you not to go to lectures, He will not tell you not to go to lectures. And I tell you, those purposes don't come up every day. So I don't ask God for what to wear. I don't ask Him whether I should brush my mouth, because my mouth will stink. I know I do, and those are, if you really don't want to fall into, don't want to have pitfalls in the prophetic, please don't follow that path. If the Holy Ghost wants to now interfere, let Him interfere. For example, I won't just resign my job for resignation's sake. If I resign, which one will I do? The one I resigned, I knew God was talking to me. And I didn't take a decision based on just God talk to me. I spoke to Pastor Shei. I spoke to all the major people in my life. And when I saw that their counsels were all the same, I stepped out. The kind of job I left, people here will want it if they want to give it to you. In fact, after I left, the salary was doubled. The guys I left there got 100% pay rise. It pains me when I remember. But what will I do? If God says go, well, I know that if I stayed on that job, I won't be holding this microphone. I won't be here. In fact, I will be telling story that there's a way it can suck you in, and God is calling you. God has something more than a good job for your life. And then you stay inside good job. God, double-cross me with that one. And we still have case on that one. Say, God, if I left that one, you must do something new. But that's a different case. But I will not just resign my job because I feel that something is speaking to me, and then I should walk away. So we should be praying. Let's find time, the discipline of prayer. I believe in one principle, that if you commit your ways into the hands of God, you may not hear any voice. Any prophet may not speak to you. I have experienced it. When you get to that point, circumstances will arrange, because you have committed your ways to the hand of God. I believe more in that than even going to... There are some brothers here who have told me that the reason they are not married is because they are waiting for God to tell them who their wife is. I agree with you. It worked for some people. But some people need to go and ask God, say, God. Some people need to see sister and say, God, I like that sister. Should I go for... You understand? Like Pastor says, we can't generalize these things. So please, let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Let's just be praying people.
It's also possible for a sister to say, I like this brother. But when you like a brother, don't go and meet him. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to me. The Lord is talking to me about that brother. Then I call the brother and say, brother, what is happening? He said, I'm waiting for God. But that borrow says. I begin to open your eyes and see properly.
It's God.
Hallelujah.
I think it's important for us to understand that people shrunk into prophetic or revelationary gift as a result of lust. And we must also remember that those nine gifts is basically intent to achieve one thing in us, and that is character. If you look at it very well, for example, would you love to be to have Jeremiah to be your prophet? You won't like him. And what Jeremiah is saying, if he's saying to church, the following Sunday, people will not come to church again.
We will come. We will not let him come.
We will not say, oh. But don't we talk? Yes. Because, and so the intention of those things, but we have always forget the intention because of the loss of our heart. People thronged to people who are, Of course, God spoke to me about those things, and I was almost dropping it. Okay. Because it could be very, very destructive. You don't place your life on it and say, otherwise, other spirits will come and they begin to minister to you because they have found lust in you. And that is, but when it is basically for character building, the intention is for your character. Of course, Satan will not tell you not to do evil. Do you understand? Because that's character. But when it is, yes, I want to go to US. I need to go and see Prophet Alo. Of course. Sorry, I'm sorry for mentioning it. sorry, forgive me. Praise God.
Who is Alo?
I'm in trouble now.
Who is Prophet Alo?
I don't know him, oh. You know him. Only Meje.
Do
you understand? All those things, at that point in time, the Satan will begin to minister to your heart because lust is already found in it. So please, the intention of it is to build those nine gifts. The intention is to build character in all of us. Praise God.
Hallelujah. I think our time is fast spent. It's been interesting. Very, very interesting. So much to learn. I wish you can continue. Because there are so many questions on our minds. And I'm trusting God that God will answer you. You know, God wrote to Timothy, well, said, if there is any other thing that you still do not understand, say God will explain it. You know, and so I'm trusting God that there are some questions on our hearts that God may not answer, not in the next 5 years. You just sit in church and the whole understanding, they just download it into your mind. And there are questions that it is while you are on the street that taxi driver will be giving you the answer. But all that has been said tonight, please pay attention to them. Nothing that came out tonight was frivolous. They are very, very important. They are instructions in righteousness. Hallelujah. And I'm trusting God that God will help us the more. We'll keep learning. I know people will make mistakes, but one thing I want to please leave as I close up tonight is the fact that don't box yourself to a corner and you say to yourself, I will remain here and die here in this position. Once you've been corrected that what you've done is wrong, repent and move on. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? Because that's where you learn. And you see, you're in a church like this, so that, you see, a few days ago I was, a thought just kept going into my mind. And it is like, you see, this church is like a garden. Are you with me? All of you should grow and blossom. Do you understand me? And that's your growth. There will be need to prune you. There will be need to do some work. Do you understand me? So when you make mistakes and you are corrected, don't feel bad and walk out of the church. Do you follow me? Take it and move on. And please, when somebody makes a mistake, don't make fun of him. Oh, because if you are friends, you can say, that time when you held microphone, there was a brother that started his singing career in PGT with this song.
We just burst into laughter. We didn't even think procrastinate. We were just laughing. It was highly embarrassed. You, Sunday service, so even the back of all of them. I come to the level and say, but it's not like that today. Do you understand me? It's a family, we all laughed it over and encouraged him, and it's a fantastic choir leader today. You with me? The first time I stood before people to talk, I was tongue-tied. I could not talk. I was misdiving. Do you follow me? So, please, let us encourage one another as we grow. You will make mistakes. Please don't ever think you will not make it. There's someone I'll give you a microphone and you go and preach. You will preach complete nonsense. But that will not mean I will not give you a microphone tomorrow. Are you with me? Just make sure that you keep getting better. That's the advantage. Praise the Lord. Pastor, can you round up for us and let us?
Hallelujah.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299. Or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.